Dedicated tonight, Shiel Ili Nishmas Ron Kestrich, Shlomo Ben Tzvi, was Nifter Rosh Chodesh Adar. To talk tonight, the fourth of Mirtz Hashem will be a series of five Shiurim on Megillas Esther. Plans unraveled and puzzles pieced together. Rashbi and the Nes of Purim. What has Rashbi to do with the Nes of Purim? So I want to focus tonight on Tokfo Shel Nes. Over the last couple of weeks, over the preceding three Shiurim, we took direction from each of three different Tanaim, Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, who give three different opinions of the Mishnah Megillah Daf Yotes as to how much of the Megillah is there a chiyuv to read over the course of Purim. And they take three different approaches to that terminology that appears at the very, very end of the Megillah, the very end of Perek Tes, that the Megillah is telling the tokef, the strength. Matichtov ester malka mordechai yudi is called tokef. So what is the strength? So the first evening we focused on Tokfo Shel Achashverosh. The second evening on Tokfo Shel Mordechai. And the third evening on Tokfo Shel Haman last week. And those three opinions which appear in the Mishnah are all focusing on different individuals, different human beings. Then the Gemara quotes a fourth opinion, which will be our direction for this evening. The fourth sheet is that of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Tana Rashbi, who says that you only begin Mikra Megillah from Perek Vav, Balayla Hahu Nadad Hashnas HaMelech. And why? Because he interprets Tokef as not the tokef of any one of those three people, but rather Tokfo Shel Nes. That the primary Mikra Megillah is to tell the strength of the Nes. In other words, rather than focusing on particular people, we're focusing on Yeshua Hashem. And that's why over the last 3 weeks, we focused on primarily on the lessons that we're meant to learn from the individuals who appear in the Megillah. First week, we focused on the Gaiva of Achashverosh. The second week, we focused on thinking about the contrast between the Sirisei HaMelech, Hega and Shashkaz on the one hand, and Mordechai and Esther on the other hand. And last week we were looking at Haman's plans. And now we're going to turn to focus on the Pirkei Yeshua, Tokfo Shel Nes. And it's also worth recognizing that in many ways, we're going to see how the puzzle pieces come together. In many ways, learning Tokfo Shel Nes will be a hashlama to last week's year when we were learning Tokfo Shel Haman, because Haman had laid out a plan and there were pieces already in place, and now we're going to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fit the pieces together. And we're even going to be reaching back to two shiurim ago, because as we saw, the third pair of people whom we focused on in the second shiur, in Perek Beis, was the big son Teresh, who appeared less as individual actors, and more as the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Refuah Kodem Lamaka. And we're going to see how those pieces begin to fit together. In the last year, Tokfo Shel Haman, we were focused on the rise of Haman and on Haman's devious plan. The rise of Haman, if you saw the way the Malbim unpacked the first two psukim of Perek Gimel, it was Achashverosh had forgotten the details of Big Son Teresh. He had forgotten who had been the source of the information. He remembered that it came to him, to Achashverosh, via Esther. He wants to do good for Esther. What's going to give the woman who has it all, at least from Achashverosh's perspective, she has it all. And so he figures he'll show respect and admiration to Esther by giving to the person who put her in the position that she got to, and Achashverosh saw in that role Haman, who had given the initial suggestions that ultimately got the wheels turning and led ultimately to the choosing of Esther. And so that was the rise of Achar HaDvar Ma'ela that Malbim had explained. At the beginning of Perek Gimel, that's how the meteoric rise to power of Haman was driven indirectly by the Big Son Teresh story. And Haman had managed to sort of cement in Achashverosh's mind that, as a matter of fact, he was the one who had given the information to Esther and who had saved Achashverosh's life. And then you come most of Paragimel and beyond into Paragdal is Atzas Haman. He was the one who was at Tzor HaYehudim. As we saw last week, the Malbim develops that Haman was the real Tzor HaYehudim. He was the one who had ad for the Jews. And Achashverosh was putty in his hands. Achashverosh didn't know. That's why Haman just presented Am Echad, never identifies who he's talking about. Just Le'abed, no Lahashmid, Laharagul Le'abed. Haman's presentation to Achashverosh of his plan was very, very sanitized. Some group you haven't even heard of, they're cultural troublemakers, and we're going to need to assimilate them into the greater Persian Empire. And that's why there were, as we saw, the Palsheg and Aksav, the two different versions of the letter that went out, the private version, the public version. And Haman is the Ratzim Yatzu Dechufim. He's pushing the writers out the door, out of the city as quickly as possible. He doesn't want Achashverosh to find, he wants to delay as much as possible. Achashverosh finding out, anyone really finding out what's going on. The Palsheg and Aksav, Galui L'chol Ha'amim, the open letter is going to be posted all over the place. It says, Lios Asidim Liomazeh. Very, very, sort of like a trailer for a movie. Something, there's action coming on the 13th of Adar. Be ready. Military preparedness. In the vaguest, most ambiguous of senses. So everyone's going to be ready. Even those we know what they're ready for. The Sari Hamedinos, they got the complete closed letter, the private note. Lahashmid Laharog Labez Kol Hayudim. Minarva, Zaken, etc., etc. They were talking about extermination of the Jewish people. But that was not out in the open. Everyone's going to be ready. No one really knows for what. And then when the big day comes, all of a sudden the information, all the details hit, and before anyone has a chance to process, is just going to, they're primed for some sort of action, they're just going to carry through on Haman's plan. And that's why we had seen last week that Yerushalayim Navocha. Everyone's confused. Not sad as much as perplexed, because there's some vague letters are going out. What's it supposed to mean? As opposed to the very next line, beginning of Perek Dalad, Mordechai Yada, it's Kol Asher Nasa. He knew everything that was going on. Perhaps Baruch HaKodesh. But it was only Mordechai who really knew what was going on. But meanwhile, the Pasuk continues to say, when the letters hit the foreign areas, when the letters hit the provinces, then there was Evel Gadol, not just for individual people, but the Yehudim. The Jewish communities, when the letters hit outside of Shushan, Haman didn't have as much control over how things played out. And apparently they did sometimes get leaked, and whole communities began to find out what the real story was. So outside of Shushan, there's Evel Gadol Yehudim on a communal level. And as we saw last time, part of the dynamic of the course of Perek Dalid is that Mordechai is trying to get the information over the palace gates, into the palace, to Esther. And the way he does that is by doing what otherwise seems very bizarre, which is if he's going to wear sock and you can't walk into the castle grounds, it's a violation of protocol to walk into castle grounds wearing socks, and then why, pray tell, did he walk up until the line? Just stay home. Want to daven with your sock first? Stay home. Or go to Rehovah Shalir in the Jewish community. Why are you at the Shar HaMelech but not walking up to the line? Mordechai wasn't passive aggressive. He wasn't trying to test the limits. What's Mordechai doing? The answer is he's trying to get Esther's attention. That's what he's doing. He needs to communicate. He needs to share that information. How is he texting her? And the answer, and presumably Haman's goons are guarding the gates of the palace. And the answer is he's sending the information visually, not by holding up a big sign, but essentially doing that, by wearing socks. She knows something's funny. I haven't heard about anything said. What's going on? And that's how the information begins to be shared. So that's where we had been last week, Prakam Gimel and Dalad, studying Tokfo Shel Haman, studying Haman's plan. And we're about to dive into Tokfo Shel Nes. Balayla Hahu Nadza Shnas HaMelech. And let's just very briefly sketch what happens beyond where we had left off last time. A couple of steps of Esther's preparation. Three steps of preparation by Esther. Before she begins to prepare, step zero, as it were, is what Mordechai says to her in the middle of Perek Dalad. She's been, as many point out, Esther is very passive. Esther is following Mordechai's lead up until the middle of Perek Dalet. When he says to her, and she finally gets the information Mordechai has been sending, and he says, okay, I need you to get on this. And she's like, this is really dangerous, I don't know. She's hesitating, she's hemming and hawing. I'm not sure this is the right time, maybe we should wait, let's wait and see. And there's one thing that Mordechai says, and that turns everything around, and that is, mi yodeim lo la'etz kazosi gaz lamachas. Maybe this is the moment. As we discussed in an earlier share, it sounds as though they have been grappling with this question for years. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? This is one of the most direct, indirect references to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Megillah. Mi yodeim lo la'etz kazosi gaz lamachas. There's no mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there is a clear assumption of purpose. Maybe this is why you're here. I mean, there's a why. We're just not sure what the why is. But someone's in charge. There's a reason for things happening. And we've been wondering about this for years. Why on earth does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want you here? And he says to Esther, maybe this is the answer. And it's at that moment that a switch flips, and now Esther is in the driver's seat. Immediately. She says, okay, here's what we're going to do. Number one, number two, number three. Number one, Leich Kenos is called Yehudim. Davening, Tzom, and so forth, that's what you're going to do. What am I going to do? In addition to joining you in the Davening, Gamanid Vanar Sayotzim, okay? Preparation number two is the first Mishnah. Preparation number three, the first Mishnah Ray takes us to Parakeh. Preparation number three is asking for the second Mishnah. At that first Mishnah, where Achashverosh assumes, here's the point where I ask you, what can I do for you? And she bizarrely says, well, let's just do this again. Almost like, you know, it seems as though we're going to be heading into an endless loop of party leading to party. So those are the three pieces that she puts into place. Everyone's going to daven, I'm going to have a party, and set up for another party. And we also watch, before Balayla Hahu, which is the night in between the two parties, we also watch Haman's response to what's going on. Yeah.
You think that Esther originally planned at party one to ask for party two? That wasn't just
I think so. I think a number of Farshim, the Malbim, and several others assume this was all part of the plan. Let's see how it plays itself out. Haman, after party number one, Haman is insulted when he sees Mordechai, and his response is fascinating. And this is what's going to lead us into Balayla Hahu. Because Haman comes home, and he's upset, he's insulted by Mordechai, he's still not Kareem Mishtachet to him. Haman is furious. And what does he do when he comes home? He begins to talk about how chashav he is. Number one, quote Asher Rov Banav, Kol Asher Gidlo HaMelech, Niso Al HaSarim, that takes us back beginning Paragimel, Gidal HaMelech Es Haman, Eina Se'ehu. And then he says, and it's even more than that. I am the one and only. Esther invited, last time we saw a Mishnah in Megillas Esther, it was for enormous, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. I have a three-person Mishnah, and I'm the odd man out. The king, the queen, and me. That's incredible. That's a madriga. And they were doing it again. Gam l'macharni karula al-melech. How does that flow? I'll be pashas, you assume he's saying, you know, all this is worthless. This Mordechai gets under my skin so much I can't enjoy anything. Alternatively, but then if that's what it is, so why the Yasu Eitz is very dramatic. So Malbim suggests the details of the Eitz plan that he likes so much, Yitav Adar V'Fnei Haman, is something more. It's more than just I can't enjoy all this covet because Mordechai bothers me. I'm such a chashuv person, I'm going to go after Mordechai. Personally? That it's unseemly. It would take me down. Now, the truth is, Haman is not such a great guy, but he's trying to maintain a great front. It would be it would be demeaning for me to go after one person individually. It would make me look petty. I can't do that. I'm too chashuv a person. But that's what I want to do. So what Zeresh B'chol O'avav tell him is take him out, but reframe it. Reframe it as a national matter. You're going to have Eitz gavoa chamisha ma'ama means this isn't a personal vendetta. We're making us. You're going to frame it as though he's a morid b'malchus, and he did some sort of national crime, and we're making an example out of him. We're going to make an example of him, and dafka baboker is going to be so high that all of Shushan can see it. He's not going to be hung in the afternoon after the court is done because of a crime. He's hung. Everyone's going to walk out first thing in the morning. They're going to see Mordechai hanging from the biblical equivalent of a skyscraper. Everyone can see this. This is not a personal thing about Haman. He must have been a Mar b'Malchus. We're making an example out of him. So you can get what you want, but frame it in a way that will be comfortable. A little bit like Kerem Navos with Achav and Ezav. I'm not going to just take him out and take his stuff. We'll make it seem as though, you know, he's a criminal. We'll make it look legitimate, which we are seeing play out on the international scene now as well. So the most naked act of aggression, we have to pretend as though, you know, oh, I'm not the aggressor. Why does no one believes it? Who cares? But that's the lethal narishkeit that Balei Gaiva have. Haman also, he needed to save face. Who's he saving face from? He could say whatever he wants to whomever he wants. But the covet mattered, and Mordechai drove him crazy until he couldn't stand the thought of looking petty, and he couldn't and leaving Mordechai and going after Mordechai personally. He couldn't stand the thought of leaving Mordechai alone. So they had this fantastic plan. He's going to come. He's going to present this plan. Gevaldik. Let's just move a little further, and then I'd love to wrap back, hopefully, for questions. And now, ready to come to Perek Vav. And in learning Perek Vav, we're seeking to discover, as Rashbi says, Tokfer Shel Neis, to be able to read between the notice between the lines how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saving us. As we're going to see, sort of a blend of two elements. So let's take a look, and let's start with a few questions. Once again, a couple of questions over the course of Perek Vav and beyond. So number one, a couple of detailed questions. How Achashverosh can't sleep? What do they bring? We all know they bring the Sefer Zichronos, Divrei Hayamim. Which one is Sefer Zichronos? Is Divrei Hayamim? The two names for the same thing. And why are we being so verbose? So use one name or the other. Right? What's the Sefer Zichronos, Divrei Hayamim? What's that all about? Looks like a small detail. We'll see that it's massively important. Such questions is the very first thing that happens in Tukfos Shalmeis. This is actually pivotal. And then they read from the Sefer Zichronos Divrei Hayamim. Vayimatze Kasuv, they found it written. As though it's surprising that it's there. It's surprising that things are written in a book, what they thought would be empty. Vayimatze Kasuv. Yeah, I mean, you just say, if they surprised that they found it, Vayimatze. Vayimatzei Kasuv is a sort of curious turn of phrase. Haman comes in, the Achashverosh hears about Mordechai, nothing had been done, no Yakar Ugedula, we owe Mordechai, mi bechatzer, here is Haman, and Achashverosh suddenly starts asking Haman, how am I going to take care of Mordechai? Why is he asking Haman that question? Haman happens to be there? Maybe. And why does he decide that Haman has to do it? A pretty radical shift. Haman was just telling us a couple of hours ago, that he is it. He is on top of the world. So Achashverosh wants to reward Mordechai. Good. Why is he even bothering Haman with such a little piddling thing? It's a little strange. Why is he even bothering to ask him? And then to take Haman down to have to be mevaz himself before Mordechai? Ma. And then Haman comes back. Then Haman has to be mechaved Mordechai to his greatest pain. And then he comes home at the end of Perek Vav. Vayisaper avel v'chafui rosh. He comes home terrible, horrible. He's down the dumps. Pun intended. Vayisaper Haman lezer shishtochol o'avav eskol asher karohu. He tells him everything that happens. What's with the everything? Kol asher karohu. Which part is a surprise? What's the everything? And then, Odamid Dabrimi Mobisari Seyamel Chigu, while they're still talking, he's still talking to his wife, the Sarisa Amel Harei show up to bring him to party number two. Why is it important to know this Odamid Dabrim? Right. I think as kids, it makes it very, when we learn as kids, it makes it very dramatic. But what's the Megillah trying to teach us? What's the significance of knowing that he didn't even have the chance to finish the conversation and he's already pulled away? So the Malbim suggests the following. You know why I couldn't sleep? His not sleeping led him to want to look in the Sefer HaZichronos Divrei HaYamim. What's it all about? What's it all about? See, it wasn't just that he couldn't sleep. He was frightened. And Esther may have hit the mark. Because his queen invited him and the second in command to a party. It's all strange. And then she did it again? So he's wondering, maybe this sounds like there's a coup brewing. So he starts... The paranoia begins to build. And he's wondering, and maybe not even paranoia. It's maybe not an unreasonable concern given the situation. So if he's not sure whom he can trust, and he's not sure whether he has a revolution on his hands, probably a good time to make sure that you have some friends in your corner. So it's actually not a bad, the very logical flow, he's not sure if he can trust the two people who he thought were his closest allies. I better firm up whoever else I have. Who else is there that maybe, you know, maybe I haven't been investing enough in relationships. Mm-hmm. Maybe there are people that I owe a thank you to. So, pull out this Sefer Zichronos Divrei Yamim. Vayimotzei Kasuv. Shocking. What's so shocking? You know what's so shocking? So the Bible suggests that, as I mentioned before, Sefer Zichronos Divrei Yamim, that is an absolutely critical piece of information. Because he suggested there were two different books. There was the private and the public. One is the Sefer HaZichronos. Divrei Yamim, you'll hear at the end of this Megillah and elsewhere in Tanakh, particularly in Sefer Melachim, Divrei Yamim are the public annals of the king. Everyone's like, well, you want to hear more about King Saul, King Plony of the course of Sefer Melachim, the rest is in the Divrei Yamim Malchi Yehuda. Those were the public annals. Sefer HaZichronos, that's a private diary. The Malbim suggests you remember at the beginning of Paragimel that Haman had cemented his position. He had gained his position because Achashverosh had forgotten who had helped him. And what's going on here is the reason why it's so surprising and the reason why it was necessary to have the Sefer Zichronos out to find this surprising piece of information, and it's surprising that it's still written, is that Haman, once he got into power, managed to pull a little Pravda move and change the story. And in the public annals, changes the story to he is the one who had uncovered the plot and told to Esther and thereby saved Achashverosh's life. And that's part of what had carried Haman all this time. Haman, Achashverosh owes his life to Haman. Until they pull out both versions. And shockingly, in one of them, in the private one, it was still Kasuv. It hadn't been erased. This is the Malbim suggestion. It changes everything because it means Haman walks in at the worst moment possible because Achashverosh knows a whole lot more than we would have realized. Achashverosh just realized that Haman pulled a fleeced him, that Haman fooled him, that Haman has never been his best friend. Haman fooled him into thinking that he was. He had his back, when really it was Mordechai had his back. Wow. And at that very moment, and here's the first of three instances of a unique hashgacha, Haman walks in at exactly the right moment. And that's why the king isn't just asking, how can I take care of Mordechai? The king wants to test the waters. This is a litmus. This isn't about Mordechai. This is about Haman. The question is phrased in a way, and he puts out the bait. Suddenly, Achashverosh really wakes up. And he lays a trap, he puts out the bait for Haman, and Haman swallows that bait, hook, line, and sinker. And it becomes even clearer from his answer that in his mind, he wants to be king. You're asking for Levush HaMalchus, Sus HaMelech? You create me, you want to be king. So Achashverosh says, okay, suspicion is confirmed. There is a coup afoot. Now, the truth is, there isn't a coup. And he asked for the Keter, that's right. He asked for everything. Now, the truth is, there really isn't a coup afoot. But it is clear, and Esther is definitely not part of it, but it is clear what Haman would like, where Haman would like to be at some point. And so, that's why Haman asks. That's why Haman says, and you're going to do it. Because Haman is, that's why Achashverosh tells Haman, and you're going to do it. Because Achashverosh is already on to Haman. Haman doesn't realize it, though. He quotes Abarbanel, that coming to the end of Parakeh, by Yisaper Kol Asher Karahu, he told them the whole story because he's trying to tell them, you think that I got in trouble because I made the suggestion, I presented your plan about hanging Mordechai, and Achashverosh didn't like it. No. I never got to that because I walked in before I had a chance to give the whole plan. The king asked me a question, and I got all sidelined. That was just coincidence. We're fine. I'll get over it. This is a bad day, an incredibly embarrassing day. But, you know, okay, we'll get past it. Another couple days, I'll make the suggestion about hanging Mordechai. And Zeresh and his wife are trying to tell him, no, you understand. This is what's happening. Hachilosel and Polifanov, this doesn't look like you're surviving. Now, the truth is, Haman didn't even realize, the man who had up until this point been the master of strategy, doesn't realize this wasn't Mikra. Mikra, this is not nothing Purim is Mikra. This certainly wasn't Mikra. And even from the, on the human level, it's not random. It's not that Achashverosh happened to nothing. Achashverosh is on to you. And Haman suddenly has lost his strategic insight.
According to the Medrash, there was a relationship between Haman and Mordechai. He was his barber. He was his slave.
Right.
Did Achashverosh, according to the Medrash, know anything about that?
I don't know.
You don't know.
They don't get their impression. And here is the second aspect, expression of Siyata D'Shemaya, is Oda Medabrim. Why the significance of the Oda Medabrim? That they showed up while he's still talking to his family. Why that's so significant? Because it's really a mystery in Perek Zayin. When Haman is finally in a bad place, Ufnei Haman Chafu, Charvona says, ooh, and we have the Eitz Asher Asa Haman the Mordechai. How did Charvona know about that? Haman never told anyone about the Mordechai plan, other than his family. How would anyone in the palace have known? They might have known that Haman put it up. I mean, it's there. That was the whole point. It was 50 Amos tall. It was incredibly visible. But who knew about the Mordechai piece? The answer is, Odav Dabrim. Because Charvona is one of the Sarisim who showed up while they were still in conversation. And he had his ears perked. And he heard something that sounded a little strange, but okay, whatever. But now that everything is, now that it's clear to everyone who's who and what's what, he says, oh! And this was the final nail in the coffin, was, and you know what? And Haman wanted to kill Mordechai, the one who's loyal to you, who's related to Esther. So that's the second Hashgacha. Then, but moving on from the Oda Medabrim and getting into the story of the second party in Perek Zayin. Haman says to Ahimelech, says to Esther once again in the second Mishnah, Ma Sheila Seich, Ma Bakasha Seich, and how he's trying to up the ante. Esther Hamalka, even if you want something that's royal, whatever you want, he's very curious to know what it is that Esther wants. And what does she say? Matzasi Chaim Hamelech Tov, Nafshi B'Sheilasi, I'm B'Kashasi. Why? Why should you save me? Ki nim karnu ani va'ami. Because I and my nation have been sold. L'hashmit l'harog l'abed. Well, okay. Stop right there. But no, she keeps going. If we were only being sold to Avadim, I would have been quiet. Well, that seems like a very anticlimactic. Say, he wants to kill us. Me, my nation. But if we were only Avadim... So Mama says, this goes back to the beginning. Esther has pointed out the two pieces of information that Haman conveniently had left out. Number one, he never told you who this Am is. It's me. And it's because of, he's in it because of me, because of my family. This is all about Mordechai. This is all about me. He wants to kill this some anonymous nation because they're my nation. Achashverosh says, wow. And he says, you know what else? What was the other piece of information that, that Haman left out? He just said, they want to assimilate them a little bit. Change, make some cultural adaptations. He left out the Lahashman Laharag part. So that's exactly what Esther says. And if it, he was just gonna assimilate us and tread us down, Lavan Mashvachos, I wouldn't have said anything. But he wants to kill us. That's a very, very powerful two-layered statement. He didn't tell you who. It's my nation, and because of me, because of my family. And he didn't tell you what he plans to do. It wasn't just Lavan Mashvachos. He wants to kill us. He wants to exterminate us. Now, but he doesn't. She doesn't yet tell him who. So Achashverosh doesn't even realize. He Vayomer Amelach Achashverosh Yomer Esther Malkah. Apparently, first says to the whole crowd, and then when no one knows what on earth Esther is talking about, then he says, "Esther, who? What? What?" And she says, and he says, "Mihuzeve Ezehu? Who's asking for this? Who's asking for this? And what's it all about?" And she says, "Ishtar Voyev." And then Haman is shocked, and the king exits and comes back. What's the significance of that? So the Malbim says, because Haman realizes that he's caught between Sil and Charybdis. He can't deal with both Esther and Achashverosh at the same time. There's something he can say to each one, but he can't say the same thing to both of them. Because if it's just Achashverosh, he could say, No. I was talking about the Jews, and they really are a terrible people, and da-da-da-da-da. It's not a personal vendetta. It's really, they're really a terrible, horrible nation, and they're out to get you, and you have to get rid of them. But he's not going to say that in front of Esther. This is going to make Esther even angrier at him. If it's just Esther, he could say, "Oh, yeah, I didn't realize it was that you're a Jew. If I would have known, of course, now I'll tell the king how wonderful the Jews are." But he can't say that in front of the Achashverosh, because his claim to Achashverosh was, This is Lamancha. This nation really is unhealthy for your empire. See, he's caught. Achashverosh walks out, and now is his chance to talk to Esther, and then Achashverosh walks in at the right moment. When number one, he hasn't yet had a chance to convince Esther, even if he thought he could, and it put him in an even more compromising position. And taking a step back now to what we've seen, Tokfo Shalnez, over the course of Prakim Vav and Zayin, is a, as I said before, a blend of two elements. The two elements are the human hishtadlus together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Siyata Dishmaya. There's been so much human hishtadlus. So much. Certainly Esther's very, very intricate strategy and brilliant strategy. And there have been, and many other people have played their part. And it's interesting, the Siyata Dishmaya has expressed itself at three critical points. The timing of when Haman walks in to Beis Achashverosh, a bizarre time to show up to Beis Achashverosh to talk about wanting to, in the middle of the night. And it was mamish at the right moment. The timing of when the Suisim showed up, and then the timing of when Achashverosh walks back in. And it's intriguing that all those three themselves are human action. Haman decided to walk in. The Sarisim decided to walk in. Achashverosh decides to walk in. But every time a person enters, the timing of it, there's a, that the intricate interweaving of human bechira and human action with hashkacha pratzis to sort of tweak it, so the timing is just right. It's intriguing that there's such a focus on timing. And I would wrap it together with one final layer for tonight, which is Vatichtov Esther, that pasuk that's been driving our perspectives on the Megillah. Vatichtov is called Tokef, the end of Perek Tes. They wrote, Esther and Mordechai write in the Megillah, they're writing the strengths, I'll be pashtus what that means, is what the Megillah does for us, and maybe we'll explore this more next week, is takes the news stories of a decade and grays out 99% of them and highlights 5-10 episodes that at the time no one could see how they hung together. In retrospect, we begin to see the divine pattern. We begin to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was putting the pieces into place and guiding things and not doing Nisim Gluyim, but Nisim Nistarim, working within human Bechira, Kadosh Baruch Hu has been subtly guiding things in a way That's the true tokep, the power of the nes, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even worked within Teva to subtly get us in the place where we could be saved.